So I'd also like to extend a very warm welcome to everyone. It's really lovely to be here with you. But what I'd also like to do is really encourage you to welcome yourself into this space. However you're showing up this weekend, whether that's challenging, difficult at times, pleasant at times, however you present yourself at any moment, all of that is welcome in this space to be allowed and met with kindness. So that real encouragement to meet all of your experience, nothing is left out, nothing excluded, all of it to be met with kindness and care and interest. This retreat is, in a sense, a special retreat. It's geared towards a particular way of being in the world, which is often at odds with the underlying unconscious bias of the world, of a certain normalcy, of a certain sense of a body that is able-bodied, or an emotional mental framework that meets a certain normal standard. And we can often find ourselves, when we're confronted with chronic illness, disability, mental health issues, isolated from the world because we, in a sense, don't quite fit this unconscious bias that the world has. And this can be quite challenging. So this retreat is very much an exploration of how it is for us, the conditions of our own particular lives, to meet that with kindness and with care, but also within that, how, particularly in the Dharma world, which is this as part of, which also, in a sense, has this unconscious bias built into it, the iconography that we see of the Buddha statues, very much upright, straight backed, a certain sense of calm and serenity, which may not match our experience, but also the language, which talks about sitting and walking meditation a lot. How we start to reframe that in a way that actually includes a much more diverse sangha, but also how then we can interpret that so that our practice is also validated and of value. So part of this will be an exploration of that, but also an exploration of really how we can find the balance in our lives to practice in a way that supports well-being in the midst of. That our experience doesn't have to fit into any particular kind of set way that it should be. That we don't have to practice in any particular way for it to be valid practice. But actually, that practice is about meeting our experience, meeting our lives, and actually finding a response that lessens suffering, that brings some degree of well-being in the midst of all the challenges of life. So, if I'd like to emphasize anything in particular this weekend, it's really about the attitude we meet our experience with. Albert Einstein said that when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So when we meet our experience with an attitude of kindness, of care, of interest, that allows and welcomes the fullness of who we are in any moment. What we find is our experience is different. It shifts. It may not actually change the outer conditions, but it creates a certain spaciousness, a certain way of being able to meet our experience that actually allows the possibility of finding a response that takes care of the moment and that can bring some degree, however small, of well-being in the midst of the struggles of our lives. So really cultivating an attitude of kindness, of care, of interest. This attitude of welcoming and allowing our experience, including those times when we find that actually we're rejecting, we're trying to push away, we are in resistance or conflict with our experience. Can we also embrace that? That there is no right way for us to show up other than actually showing up to our experience as best we can. So, what I'd like to maybe start with is just a short period of stillness meditation together. And very much throughout this weekend, I'm going to talk about stillness meditation and movement meditation and our exploration of what that means for us, given our particular circumstances. The Buddha talked about different postures. He talked about standing, sitting, and lying down. And we can very much internalize a hierarchy within that, particularly, as I said, from the kind of iconography we have within the Buddhist and Dharma world, that actually meditation practice is about sitting upright with a straight back. But actually, that isn't always what works. And it wasn't always what worked for the Buddha. There are stories in the canon, particularly when the Buddha was older and he was suffering really, really badly with terrible back pains, how in front of a hall of people who would come to actually receive a Dharma talk from him, he would turn to his senior disciple, usually Shariputta, and ask him to give the Dharma talk, that he was actually in too much discomfort, that what he needed to do was lie down and take care of his body, take care of his well-being. So very much that's the encouragement within this weekend, to actually explore what posture at any time is going to actually be most appropriate for you to actually support meeting your experience, that actually brings a balance between a sense of relaxation and ease as much as is possible in any moment, but also that can encourage some degree of alertness, some degree of actually being aware of what's arising. So, to really in each stillness practice period, to really feel into what posture is going to be most supportive right now. Do I need to lie down to really support the body in relaxing and softening and easing? Maybe I might start sitting in a chair, a comfy chair, and actually partway through mindfully move to standing posture to release some tension that may be building in the back or the body, or from standing to lying down, to really feel free to explore this, that meditation, although we meet discomfort, we meet suffering, it's not about an endurance test. It's not about just putting up with, but actually seeing what's the kind response to what's arising in my experience right now. So, what I'd like to invite you to do is just to settle. You don't really need to set up any particular posture at the moment, just really encouraging right now a sense of actually what's going to bring some ease, some softening to the body. to the mind. So just relaxing back into whatever posture feels most appropriate right now. Without any sense of judgment that some posture is how it should be done, but actually meeting what your need is right now, what's going to meet your conditions in this moment. And just bringing the attention to the sense of the body in whatever posture it is. Just that sense of the whole body and the space it takes up. How the body feels in this particular posture. And just inviting a sense of softening, of relaxing to the body, really inviting it to rest into the posture as much as possible. Can we bring an attitude of kindness, of care to this body, however it's showing up right at this moment? Allowing the body to be as it is. And expanding the attention to notice sounds. The sound of this voice coming through the computer. Maybe the sound of the rain on the roof or on the window. The hum of the fridge or other devices that might be in the home. Just allowing sounds to rise and fall. As we rest our attention in receiving sounds, notice how body sensations come and go, thoughts, emotions, all arise and pass. No need to grab hold of any of them. No need to push away. Awareness, just knowing what's happening right here, right now, in this moment. If the attention gets caught up in any aspect of your experience, a train of thought, a difficult body sensation, an afflictive emotion, whatever it is, just noticing that contraction, that tensing of the body, of the awareness, and slowly, gently, without judgment, expanding the attention the whole body and the posture that it's taking up, how it feels to be this body right now. And opening out further just to receive sounds. The space of awareness, receiving sounds, thoughts, feelings, body sensations. Allowing it all just to come and go in its own time. Using sound, the body as an anchor. Awareness, knowing experience, moment by moment. Just checking what's the attitude with which you're meeting your experience. Inclining the mind towards a kind, caring interest that allows all experience. Nothing excluded. The whole of us welcome into awareness. receiving the sound of the bell, just noticing what arises. So as we release the stillness practice, change posture for comfort, just can we maintain some continuity of practice? So that sense of just keeping a light awareness of what's arising in our experience. Noticing the body as it moves between postures, the experience of the body, but also the attitude and the thoughts that might arise. Just holding them very lightly and loosely without judgment. So what I'd like to do now is just for the next few moments, invite everyone, if you feel comfortable, to turn on your cameras. And I'd like to invite you to come to gallery view and just take a few moments just to look at this community that's coming together for the next few days. This community that, in a sense, has a shared intention. We might all have our own individual intentions for the retreat, but there's also a shared intention. An intention to meet ourselves, but also there's a sense in which when we come together as a Sangha like this, we also create a community of mutual support and care. Even though we're all in our own places, quite distant, someone's joined us from the US, some people in the UK, some people from Europe. But still, within this virtual space, we can really tune into a sense of community, of connection, shared intention, how each other's presence actually supports us in being present here. And in meeting our experience, there's something about doing this together that actually supports each and every one of us in meeting ourselves in a way that is often much more difficult when we practice on our own. So, just to really take these few moments just to connect with everyone who's here, have a sense of who this community is, and to really lean into that sense of mutual support. Actually, there's a way in which, by taking care of ourselves, but also joining a group retreat like this, we also take care of each other. And just see, allow yourself as much as is possible to feel into that. And maybe connect to a sense of appreciation, a sense of gratitude for each other's presence. So one of the themes of this retreat will also be around self-care and self-regulation. So really being able to start to tune into what it is we need in any moment to support our well-being. The retreat's going to be fairly spacious. But even within that, many of you have conditions that require a lot of self-care and a lot of self-regulation and rest. So really feeling free, giving yourself permission to actually listen to your own body, your own heart, mind, and what it needs in any moment. So, following your rhythm within the rhythm of the schedule. So, the schedule will be there as a support and that gathering together of community, of mutual support. But within that, really tuning into what you need in any moment. And as always, it's about finding that middle way, the balance between what's possible for us, but also not just letting ourselves off the hook. And that's a very delicate balance to tread. We have what we might call a baseline, each one of us. And that baseline revolves around our energy levels, our emotional and mental well-being in any moment, and the particular condition that we're working with. And it's about, with that baseline, knowing where we're starting to reach that edge. That if we start to go over that edge, actually, when we need to not push ourselves so that we can come back to the baseline rather than actually coming back to a point of actually difficulty, lack of energy, having done too much. And it's not that that baseline is static. It can change throughout a day, can change over time, over the weeks, the years, whatever. But it's always trying to gauge that baseline so that we're not pushing ourselves too much, trying to force ourselves to fit into some mold, some way that it should be, that we should be, that an image we might have from the Dharma of what it means to be a practitioner or what society says things should be or how things should be. But really trusting into our own sense of what our baseline is and how far we can go beyond that and return to the baseline rather than pushing too far beyond and actually finding ourselves then really having to spend a lot of time recovering back to our baseline. So really exploring that territory as part of this weekend, particularly in terms of practice and what feels like a way of engaging with practice in our lives. So, having said that, what I'd like to do is invite a short period of self-regulation and self-care, where if we come back, it'll be about 12, 13 minutes. So, if we come back at 20 past 8, so just a short time just to move the body, get a cup of tea, whatever it will helps to actually just self-regulate and take care of yourself for the next 10, 15 minutes, and we come back together again at 20 past 8 just to look at creating our retreat environment and have a final short sit together as well. So a few moments just to self-regulate and take care of oneself. So, welcome back. So, I'd like to say a little bit just about creating the retreat container. One of the great advantages of an online retreat is that we're embedded in our everyday life to a certain degree. So, what we do on retreat doesn't feel so far removed from our everyday life. It can actually be much more transferable into our everyday life. And one of the great disadvantages of an online retreat is that we're embedded in our everyday life, which means all the strategies we have for distraction, for avoidance, are still available to us. So when we do an online retreat, part of the skill, maybe part of the territory we have to navigate is to what degree we disengage from our everyday life, to what degree we set up more of a retreat environment. And of course, this is really an individual thing. There isn't any particular right and wrong. We may have family members around that we have to engage with. We may have carers that come and go as part of our condition that we work with. We may have other things that call on our time and energy as part of also being engaged in this online retreat. So really it's about looking at your own particular circumstances and making some adjustment to differentiate some degree of actually being on retreat from daily life, but also engaging in your daily life as much as is needed. So some of the things we look at are to how much do we disengage from our daily life? So some of the things we might want to explore is, for the weekend, we might decide not to listen to the radio, not to watch telly, maybe do less reading, things like this that might be the go-to way that we actually spend our time. So we start to pare back some of the ways that we can actually fill our time and distract ourselves. We may actually decide to have less contact with the outside world. That might actually not be what's most supportive, particularly if our condition means that we can be quite isolated. And if that's the circumstance, actually having some contact with friends or family on the phone, whatever it might actually be something that brings some degree of well-being, some degree of connection. So again, this is something we need to engage with ourselves, maybe spend a little bit of time this evening, just starting to reflect a bit. What's my intention? What can I let go of? What do I need to keep engaged with to maintain a sense of well-being? And part of that is also around silence. How much silence feels appropriate for us to have as part of the retreat? If we have family members, we might decide that actually at night, or so at the end of the retreat until after breakfast, we have a period of silence. That might be something we find that supports us. Or we may actually need to be more engaged than that. Again, it's about us exploring our own particular conditions, that there isn't a particular right or wrong, there isn't a way this should be, but actually, what are the conditions of our life and what's going to most support us? So I'd really just encourage you to have a sense of your intention of to what degree you wish to disengage from your daily life, what would support a bit more practice, a bit more mindfulness, a bit more meeting your experience rather than distracting, what degree of silence you want or don't want. But most of all, what's actually going to support well-being for you over this weekend? But one of the things I would really encourage is, as part of the practice this weekend, is an attitude of non-harming. And from that attitude of non-harming, from that base of non-harming, an attitude of care, both for ourselves and each other within this community of practice, but also for those we meet and engage with in the course of the weekend, for whatever reason. So I'd like to just read through the five precepts, the five commitments that I'd ask you to engage with as much as possible over the weekend as part of creating this attitude of non-harming and this attitude of care. So each of these commitments are practices. They're not moral imperatives from the outside. They're actually practices we undertake as part of creating a sense of well-being for ourselves and our people we meet, our community, our society, the world we live in. So they have the aspect of the type of thoughts, speech, and action we wish to refrain from. So what we wish to refrain from that causes harm, but also then the type of thought, speech, and action we wish to cultivate to bring a sense of care and well-being into the world. And these are very much based on the understanding that, a bit like throwing a pebble into a still lake, and that you get the ripples rippling out, that how we think, how we speak, how we act ripples out into the world and has an impact and effect both on ourselves but on the world around us. So, knowing the interwoven nature of our lives, I undertake the commitment to refrain from harming living beings and to protect the well-being of all. I undertake the commitment to refrain from taking that which is not freely given and to practice generosity. I undertake the commitment to refrain from sensual and sexual misconduct and to respect all beings. I undertake the commitment to refrain from false and harmful speech and to be truthful, honest, and skillful in my speech. I undertake the commitment to refrain from taking substances that lead to heedlessness, other than prescribed medicines we may be taking, and to treasure the clarity of my own mind. So, yeah, to really allow that to land. That commitment to refrain from causing harm to self and to others and to the world around us. But also that commitment to actually cultivating what leads to well-being and what's of benefit for ourselves, others, and the world around us. And in a sense, this feeds back. When we take care of ourselves, we take care of others. When we take care of others, we take care of ourselves. There's a lovely sutta that the Buddha, it's actually an analogy he uses of two acrobats. The one acrobat who has his second acrobat on his shoulders. And the question arises, how do they take care of each other? And the acrobat who's on the ground holding the other one up talks about actually taking care of oneself. And when one takes care of oneself, one takes care of the other. And the one on top actually says that when we take care of the other, we also take care of ourselves. And the Buddha points out that actually they're both right. That it works both ways, that when we really learn to take care of ourselves, we also learn how to take care of others. But also when we take care of others, we actually learn how to take care of ourselves. It's a two-way street. So to really allow yourself to explore that commitment to non-harming and to cultivating what cares for self and other. So, another aspect of the retreat environment can actually, for many of us, can be actually how we set up the space where we engage with the retreat. As you might notice here, I have some flowers up behind me. I also have a little candle burning just in front. And it's a sense in how I just create a space which makes this feel like something different to my daily life. So you might want to explore how that might work for you. Maybe having a picture of maybe a teacher that's of importance in your life nearby, maybe lighting a candle, an incense, anything that actually creates a sense of what we might call a sacred space. It creates a sense of actually stepping out of the everyday into a space where actually we're devoting the time to actually exploring our lives and what it means to be and meet this person right now as it's showing up right now, and how when we can actually meet that person, that experience in the moment with kindness and with care, the possibility arises to actually find an appropriate response to the conditions we find ourselves in. A response that's actually informed by that kindness and care, rather than resistance, aversion, of rejection. So, what I'd like to do is finish with, again, a short meditation, a short stillness practice together. And I'll talk a bit more tomorrow about movement practice, particularly when something like walking meditation isn't really suitable for our condition that we find ourselves in. But before I do, I'd like to just invite a space, if anybody has any questions, anything they'd like to comment on or anything they're unsure about. If you do, you can just raise the hand from the reaction icon. No? Okay. So we'll meet again tomorrow at 7:30. I'll say this now so we can just finish with the meditation for silent stillness practice together. And that will be for 30 minutes. But what we will do is we will actually leave the room open until 8:30. So for those of you that feel you might have a bit more energy and want to sit or lie down or whatever posture you're using a bit longer, then you're free to do that. And we'll close the room at 8:30. And then after that, the next session we'll meet at will be at 10 o'clock. And that will be quite a fluid session. So depending on how things run, we'll have sits of about, or it's so easy to fall back into that habit of sitting meditation rather than stillness meditation. It's so ingrained in the habit of how many of us have actually been conditioned by meditation. So we'll have stillness practices of about 30 minutes and time for movement meditation, self-care, self-regulation, again of about 25-30 minutes. We'll start with a short stillness practice, and then I'll offer the reflections for the morning in terms of some instructions around how to approach the day and the practice for the day. So again, the invitation now is to settle into a posture that feels like it's going to support you for the next 20 minutes in meeting your experience moment by moment. So again, really inviting you to find a suitable posture which can give a sense of balance between a softening, an ease, a relaxing in the body, but also invites a certain degree of alertness, of wakefulness. and just taking a bit of time just to invite a softening in the body. If there's any areas of holding, of tension, just a gentle invite for them to soften without any pressure, without any expectation. Just that kind offering to yourself for a sense of softening and well-being in that area of the body. And then connecting to a sense of where you feel contact with the earth, with the weight of the body supported by the earth. Whether that's in the feet, it might be the back if you're lying down, the buttocks, sitting bones if you're sitting. And just allowing the attention to rest in that point of contact. The feet, sitting bones, buttocks, the hands are often areas which are quite neutral for most of us. Areas of the body that we can actually bring the attention to just to settle the body, the heart, mind. Points of refuge. And just really feeling into that support of the earth, of the ground. Expanding the attention out to include the whole body, aware of the posture, the space it's taking up. Just feeling into how the body is right now. Allowing it to be as it is. You might notice the breathing as part of that awareness of the body. If it feels okay to use the breath, the body as an anchor, just allowing the attention to rest gently with the sensations of the breath as it comes in and as it goes out. If the body, the breath, feels uncomfortable, doesn't feel a useful place to keep the attention. And you can open the intention out wider to receive sounds. Really tuning into what anchor supports being present to the moment as it arises. Taking the time to check in with how you're relating to your experience right now. Can you incline it towards an attitude of kindness, of care, of interest? Allowing experience to be as it is. Nothing excluded. Noticing where the attention is right now. No need to judge, just like this. And gently return into the body, breathing, or to the sounds. So I wish you a good night's rest. If you're joining us from the States, you actually have quite a long time before that comes. But for the rest of you in Europe and the UK, a good night's rest. And we'll meet again at 7:30 tomorrow, UK time. The person joining us, I think it's Shelley joining us from the States. You may well be asleep at that time. So take care, and I'll see you again tomorrow. Rest well and take care of yourselves.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.